Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Conservationist Conversationalist. It's been a bit. I am Brandon, and you're...
And I'm Aiden Wood.
Aiden, how's it going?
It's going.
It's been, like, I think, 2 weeks? 2.5 weeks, maybe?
Yeah, about 2.5 weeks since we were last here. Because yeah. we took Labor Day off, which was great, because I didn't want to do anything.
That makes two of us.
Yeah, except I, of course, did have to work on Labor Day, because I am in the service industry, so...
Yeah.
So someone's got to hand out those falafel wraps.
And last week you had some issues with your with Gretchen the rat.
Yes. So this past week I had some issues with Gretchen, who is my pet rat, as some of you guys may know. I thought that I was going to have to put her down. Probably still do have to put her down. But like, so I like called the vet crying, like I trying to make an appointment for the next day, like at 9 a.m. to like have her euthanized. And then in the meantime, I was on a forum for, if it's like a forum that like connects veterinarians who specialize in rats with pet owners, like rat owners, so that people can ask them their questions. And these people are like way more knowledgeable about rats than like my local vet is, because even though my local vet technically has some people who are like who are trained in like handling rodents, they don't see a lot of rodents. Like they are not experts the way these people on the forum are. So I called like crying to make this appointment, and then like I was up like super late, like talking to these people about like what Gretchen's issue could be, and for the first time, and I got like, in the meantime, I got fucking pissed at my veterinarian, because my vet was basically like, okay, we'll do some cytology, okay, it looks like whatever's causing the issue is benign, like it's not like an aggressive tumor or whatever. And then that the other lump's just a fatty lump. So I guess we can't really do anything. So just continue with the basic antibiotic she has. And then that was like it. And then I was talking to the people on this forum, and then they were like, well, if the cytology came back negative, and if the x-ray hasn't spread to like the lungs, her respiratory issues are probably caused by the swelling of the growths, like impacting her breathing, like impacting like physically impacting her sinuses. So you should give her a steroid, this type of steroid, which should reduce the swelling. You'll know in 36 to 48 hours if it's going to work or not. The tumor on her ear is probably a Zimbold's gland tumor. And then like they were like, well, it might be too late for this, but what they should have done is tried to drain or remove the growth, and then get like samples of the cells underneath the growth, and like look at it under a microscope and like see what those cells are and what's happening with those cells. And then they were like, well, if this basic antibiotic that they've been giving you hasn't been working, this is a more aggressive antibiotic. The fact that there's growth on her face implies that there could be a bone or like a tooth or jaw infection. So you'll need like this aggressive of an antibiotic, and then make sure to give her like a probiotic yogurt, like after having an antibiotic, to like encourage healthy bacterial systems. Like they gave me fucking all this information, and like my vet was just like, well, cytology came back benign, guess she's dead. Like I was infuriated. So I get to the vet at like 8:45 a.m. and she's supposed to be euthanized at 9, and I'm like in tears, and I'm like, could I please talk to the vet before we do anything? And I was like prepared, like if I needed to like go ape shit on them. Like I was so angry. And like meanwhile, Gretchen can barely breathe. Like she's in so much pain. Like I was literally worried that she could just suffocate to death, like right there in my arms before like being euthanized. So like it was like obviously very traumatic. And like the entire time I'm trying to talk to the vet, I hear her just going like. Like that's my Gretchen sick impression. So that was in my ear the whole time as I'm trying to like say like, hey, it might be too late, but can we try this steroid and this more aggressive antibiotic option? So yeah, so I was like angry, but like, and the vet like. I spent like 3 hours there. I hadn't slept the night before. I didn't really eat dinner the night before. I didn't eat breakfast that day. So I'm like, I have this splitting headache. My rat like is making all of these pained noises. I'm trying to communicate, like, because I asked the people on the forum, like, hey, I'm at the vet now, could you please stay on the forum, like, so I can ask you questions? So they were, like, super, super helpful. Also, if any rat lovers are out there, the forum is called Real Rat Lovers Want to Know. It's actually a Facebook group, and some of the images, like, people will post, like, images of their pets, like, can be really disturbing sometimes of, like, the things that happen to the rats, but if you, like, have a pet rat and you want to take care of them, I highly recommend going onto that Facebook group. They, like, the vet and their assistant was really like they were willing to work with me. And then like about halfway through, like we'd figured out like, yes, she's definitely getting the antibiotic. Like she's getting the steroid and she's going to be on this, a different type of pain medication that's a little stronger and won't interfere with the steroid. And like, we were like spending all this time trying to figure out exactly what type of antibiotic to use. And I was, at one point I was just like, can you please give her the steroid? I cannot fucking handle listening to her like wheezing right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they went and gave her a steroid about halfway through. And so that was good. Yeah.
Gretchen lives to see another day.
Yeah. But maybe not that many more days, because she does have, like I said earlier, it's called a Zimbalt gland tumor. And while the stuff on her nose, those have been receding, the steroid has been working with those. The Zimbalt gland tumor is apparently inoperable and is probably going to be fatal. And she's still struggling. Like, she's not wheezing as hard, but she still has a little bit of a respiratory issue. And so I think that like maybe in the next few days, like it'll be time. But like I wouldn't have been able to live with myself if I didn't pursue this last option. And in the meantime, introduce my veterinarian to this forum that might be helpful to do continuing education on rat care.
Yeah.
So.
Well, hopefully all does go okay for Gretchen, and who knows? Sometimes good things happen. So
yeah. So please send me your prayers and your positive vibes. I know that no thoughts and prayers don't really do anything, but I would still appreciate them.
Well, definitely, we'll send good vibes. So there was this is actually kind of a special show too, because this week it came around quick. The debates. This is
really,
the third.
I felt like it took forever for them to get here. Like every week, I was like, "Are the debates here yet?" No.
I forgot that they were live. I didn't forget, but I was like, "When are they happening?" September. I thought it was later in September. So when it comes to like, "Yeah, there's debates," I'm like, "What?"
I thought it was earlier. I thought it was like September 2nd or 3rd or something. Like it wasn't. It wasn't.
No.
It took forever.
Much smaller field, by the way. One night, not two nights, which was kind of crazy because we're so used to seeing, I mean, a debate without Marianne Williamson, without of course Kristen Gillibrand dropped out of the race. You didn't have Tulsi Gabbard,
who was angry and went on like Tucker Carlson and Dave Rubin to complain about it, which people were like, Tulsi, you know, those are like actual conservatives, right? Like you could at least go on like a liberal show to like complain about it.
A lot of liberals do that though. They like when they get mad at the other liberals, they're like, we're going to go on the people who are really, really not liberal to complain about it.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I mean, Yang has been on Carlson, not to say that he's been had anything to complain about, but he's been on Tucker Carlson.
Presumably they're going on to, like, it's one thing to like go on to Dave Rubin or Tucker Carlson or whoever the fuck and go to advocate specific policies and reach a voter demographic that otherwise you wouldn't be able to reach. Like, that's right. One thing. Going to bitch about how the Democratic Party is corrupt is, like, another thing. And it's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, no. So I actually didn't see her interviews with Rubin and with Carlson. All I can say is that it did make for a very different debate. Funny enough, not even jokingly, without having Marianne Williamson there, who really added this other dimensional sort of, you know, what world are we living in sort of debate, you know, it felt a lot more like a presidential debate to me, because it just wasn't the craziness of having so many candidates. John Delaney wasn't there. Thank you, God. Tim Ryan, we go down the list. There's plenty. Bill de Blasio. They weren't there. So it was basically your front runners. I would say the sort of lower polling candidates of last night were, would you say, Amy Klobuchar?
Yeah.
Right.
I was watching it actually in a few different live streams, which was an interesting experience to switch between like a few different streams and to see how like debate streaming was handled in different areas. But somebody in one of the streams, like when Amy Klobuchar came on stage, was like, I remember her now, but as soon as she leaves the stage, she will cease to exist for me.
Well, it's really interesting. I guess we'll get to that at the end, but the response to this debate from places like CNN and ABC were just crazy to me, because it's totally different from what I got from it. So the first thing I guess I'll start off before I get into like the stuff they talked about. The first thing that stood out to me, and I could be wrong about this, but what I felt was that they definitely stayed away from giving Elizabeth Warren time to talk. I didn't feel like Elizabeth Warren was given much time to talk at all last night.
I think.
Or two nights ago. Or no, last night.
Yeah, maybe, but at the same time, like, part of the debates is, like, taking time, you know? Like, part of it is responding to people and, like, saying, right. like, hey, I have something to say about that. Yang also had, like, very little time to speak. I actually, I'm going to look up CNN, or Democratic debates talking time. But yeah, so let me see. Speaking time is the third presidential debate. Yeah, CNN keeps track of how many minutes everybody spoke.
Because I would have said probably first would have been, was it Booker?
Actually, I think that this is an interesting example of how your perception might change reality. So Biden was in the lead, had 17
really? Okay.
minutes and 24 seconds of speaking time, followed closely by, guess who?
Warren?
Yes, Warren with 16 minutes and 27 seconds.
God, that surprised me because I felt like she didn't get a lot of time to actually talk.
I think that Warren didn't like have any like standout moment. I feel like she is less in my memory, like as opposed to say Yang, who like dropped like a big bomb like on people during his opening statement, or Kamala Harris, who like was like shot at by one of the moderators. There were people who had these like standout moments. Buttigieg right. had his moment, like Castro and Biden had a little moment. Klobuchar was also there. But I think that Warren didn't have any of those standout moments.
So the thing I felt about Warren is that she's falling into a bit of the same trap that Sanders has, only in a shorter amount of time. Sanders, because last year everything was so new, he was a standout. Now you know what he's about, and because in a lot of ways, they're still not as far left as he is, the rest of the pack has come further left. It looks like they've all got these new ideas while he's staying the same, right? And I think Warren is falling into that trap in a shorter time where now we've already heard what she's had to say. She has great policy ideas, and now it's nothing new, right? She's just staying true to those same policies.
And I think she was well-spoken, and people in the streams that I was watching agreed with this, and that, like, when she had time to speak, she spoke really well. Like, nobody could come at her for anything, really. Like, she, like, held her ground really well. It was a lack of sensationalism that I feel like she didn't stick in the mind as much as other candidates, but maybe I feel that way because I am very familiar with Elizabeth Warren and her policies. Also, it says our internet connection is unstable. Zoom just, like, a little thing just popped out at me.
Okay, yeah, sometimes it does that.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, you're cool. Good.
All right, sweet. Just checking.
I would say too, and that does when you don't give the other candidates a lot to come back at you at, that does actually make it seem like you don't have as much time either, because you're not going back and forth with other candidates. So I do get that. I think that the what stood out to me the most was that healthcare took such a center stage last night. It was the first thing that was talked about. And understandably so, because really, if you ask most everybody, I would say around the country, I think healthcare is top two, if not first, on their top policy all around the country. And so it makes sense that it would be talked about the most, and it would be talked about first last night. But what's crazy was you got to hear all these different opinions about healthcare, and then it sort of did. That like was the big dramatic moment, and that's kind of where too, when you look at you mentioned Castro and Biden, and that's where Castro and Biden really had their big moment as well. My take. I mean, obviously, people who listen to this, they know that I have gone off about healthcare millions of times. Yeah. So it's going to happen again. So you've got. You've got people like Beto O'Rourke, and you've got even Kamala Harris, and who, when they start talking, I believe even Cory Booker, who, when they start talking about it, they go into this thing, and that's where Elizabeth Warren had her best moment, because they go into this thing that we hear over and over again, which is people love their insurance, and people, you know, oh, so that's why there's going to be a private or public option with private insurance still being something people can have. And that worries me so much, because my feeling is, and again, apologies for repeating myself, but that is that is where you're going to see divisions in class continued. And I just don't believe that healthcare is something you mess around with that. Mm-hmm. Right now, we already see for people who are on a lower income insurance or a Medicaid of sorts or a state health plan, that what happens is they get doctors get to choose who they treat and who they don't. So you don't get to pick your doctor. You get given a doctor. And a lot of the times, specialists are either out of the city. Sometimes specialists, for instance, when I had an ankle issue, I broke my ankle numerous times, but I re-injured it. And so a couple of years ago, I thought, well, I've got to go and get this checked out. It was not getting better. And I talked with my doctor, and they're like, well, you maybe need to see a podiatrist. And so I talked up to a podiatrist outside of the county, and they're like, well, sorry, but we only see people inside the county because of the fact that, you only have this insurance, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And so, but anyways, so that's the problem that I foresee, is if you still have a private option, basically what that's saying is if you can afford, if you make over $100,000 a year, or you make over $250,000 a year, or gosh, you make over $1 million a year compared to making $30,000 a year, where you end up choosing the public option. A public option is something where you're just given the entry level. It's like what we talk about, cell phone plans, whatever, that kind of thing, where you're given the entry level, you just be happy you have it. We're talking about healthcare here. We're talking about people's livelihoods. And I realize that at least it does cover everybody, but it still means that your health as a person who only makes 30, 40 grand a year doesn't mean as much as the person who makes $100,000 a year. And that's why I just don't believe that they never bring that up. And I don't know if they're so out of touch with people who don't make a certain amount of money, or if they just literally are brainwashed into thinking that that's what unions care the most about. Unions are like, oh, hey, we fought for this healthcare and that's our main thing, as if there's nothing else that unions stand for. They always bring that up. Unions fight for their healthcare plan and whatnot.
I wish I was in the union, and I wish I was making $30,000 to $40,000 a year. Like, holy shit, if I was making right? a year. Like I would have fewer problems than I do right now. I could say that.
But I mean, the thing is, I grew up in a family. So my dad has always been a union worker, and we did have great insurance when we were when I was younger. It went from, a $250 deductible, which was not that bad, to $1,000. But then everything started to raise as soon as insurance keep ending up being, for profit, and they keep making money, more and more money. The deductible went up to $1,000. And, Joe Biden made that comment last night. He said, hey, look, with my insurance, the most you're going to pay out of pocket for something is going to be $1,000. As if $1,000 isn't a big deal.
As if $1,000 is more money than I make in several months.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, so if I hurt myself tomorrow and my out-of-pocket is $1,000 – what was that?
We've covered this before, but tomorrow. Yeah.
The way I say tomorrow. Tomorrow. If I hurt myself next week and my out-of-pocket is $1,000, that could literally mean I can't pay rent the next month.
Yeah.
I mean, $1,000 is a big fucking deal, Biden.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. And it was also Bernie's plan is you won't have deductibles.
Exactly.
And Biden's the most you'll pay for a deductible is $1,000.
It's only $1,000. Come on. He's supposed to be the quote unquote poor guy of the candidates, And I mean, the only thing that disappoints me with Bernie and Warren is that I wish they would explain the fact that when you really, you and I have gone over this, so I won't go into too much detail, but the fact that what we would pay for taxes, it would actually be less than what the average person pays for health insurance per month. Every time that Biden brings that up, oh, there's going to be taxes, blah, blah, blah. It's going to cost this amount of money. And they never bring that up. And I wish they would just say that, because you need to speak in layman's terms with some people.
Bernie did a little bit at the beginning of the healthcare section, more than he usually does, I think. The thing is, I was watching it in a couple different streams, and one of the streams I was watching it in, especially at the beginning, it was a stream where there were multiple streamers on, and they were talking, and they were commenting on the debate as it was happening, sometimes right. as people were talking, which is infuriating a little bit. I was watching this stream because I love those people, but I was also I kind of want to hear what the candidates are saying. So I like switched to a stream without commentary. That was just presenting the debates. Actually, it was a stream that was he was streaming the debates from Marianne Williamson's watch party in Los Angeles.
Oh my god!
So he was showing the screen, and we would like there were like people walking in front of it, like live at the watch party. It was very meta.
Can you imagine Marianne Williamson watching the debates? Like, does she? I imagine she's actually pretty quiet. Maybe I'm wrong, but I imagine she's like just manifesting things as the debate goes.
And what is interesting is there were a lot of people in Marianne Williamson's debate watch party crowd who were cheering on like things that people were saying. I know Kamala and Warren both got a couple applause lines where people were like, "Oh fuck yeah!" And I was like, "Aren't you supporting Marianne Williamson?"
But I know that Marianne Williamson herself, besides supporting herself, she does support Bernie. So that does kind of say that it's a more progressive crowd, you would think. So I will say, so Warren, going back to Warren's moment, her moment was when she said, and it's something that we've all said, but she did say it, which is nice to feel like you're represented, right? Yeah. That she goes, I haven't heard many people who have said they love their insurance. And it's like, you know, and of course Bernie tweeted that today as well. But, you know, I'm so glad she said that because it has been said, but it can't be said enough.
Yeah. And the other thing that I wish people would say, I don't remember again, like this was the healthcare section was near the beginning of the debate. So I don't remember if this exact point was articulated, but people don't love their insurance. They love their providers and they love their insurance compared to the worst insurances
right.
before, you know, like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's like saying, I love my job. Yes. Relatively speaking to other jobs. But if I didn't have to work and I made money,
Speaking of not having to work and making money,
mm-hmm. Have you found the answer to that, Aiden?
Well, like UBI, like Andrew Yang.
Oh, UBI. Oh, God. Yeah, I know, but here's the thing with Andrew Yang, right? Because here's what I love about Andrew. So one, he's kind of a libertarian. He's really not a Democrat. Because this is what I love about Andrew. He's like, so we're going to give you money. And this is a simplified version,
also,
by the way.
The other thing I love is like that you call him Andrew like you're on a first name basis. The thing I love about Andrew.
Andrew, we're homies. And so, but this is about Andrew is that he, this is obviously not quoting him. This is me just a synopsis of Andrew Yang. So it's like, I'm going to give you guys $1,000 a month. And then it's like, yes. And it's like, okay, wait, so how are you going to do that, Andrew? Well, you're going to pay a tax. Well, wait, you mean the rich are going to pay tax? No, not the rich. Okay, so why? One. Two, how much are we really getting now from the UBI? And three, again, why are we not taxing the rich, Andrew? That being said, he didn't have a bad night last night.
And he had a pretty good night. I mean, he only spoke for 7 minutes, but... Those 7 minutes.
7 minutes? 10 minutes less than Biden?
7 minutes. Well, it was more like 8 minutes. 7 minutes okay. and 54 seconds.
Okay.
But still, so, basically 10 minutes left less than Biden.
Yeah. So Andrew, though, had some he seems to be, I think, close. So really the three people staying on the healthcare issue, the three people who seem to be for Medicare for All, from what I gathered, are Julian Castro, Elizabeth Warren, and Bernie Sanders. I do think Andrew Yang is kind of there, but I do think he did mention keeping private insurance as well. So really the three true single payer are Julian Castro, Elizabeth Warren, and Bernie Sanders. And I do love that was when Julian Castro had his moment, when he said to Biden, because Biden was, you know, talking about the ACA, and, you know, Biden loves to talk about Obama. We know that, right? Because, hey, in case you guys didn't know, he's friends with, you know, the 44th president of the United States, was vice president even. And he, so that's kind of when Castro kind of called him out for that. Was like, well, you know, you're the president of the United States. He wanted everybody in the country to be insured. And under your plan, there would still be X amount of people who would be uninsured. Whereas under, you know, our plan, I think he was kind of meaning, I can assume he was meaning Warren Sanders himself, nobody would be uninsured. And that's when Biden, of course, you know, took offense to that, because how dare you question his ACA words. But you know what, Julian Castro, here's the other thing. Biden likes to bring up that he knows Obama. Well, guess who also worked within the Obama presidency? Julian Castro.
Yeah, he was the Housing and Urban Development Secretary under Obama, for those who might not be aware.
Yeah, and the thing about Julian Castro is, Now I know I people are going to be like, oh, Brandon has a new favorite after every debate. But I have always liked Julian Castro.
And I remember, at the very start of this, you were like so into Tulsi. You were like extremely.
You were into Tulsi too.
Oh, only because like you were the first person I had ever heard mention her name, and so I was like building on your hype.
She's a wonderful human being. It seems like she is a badass. She's gonna be a great.
Your microphone went out.
Oh, son of a bitch!
Okay, guys, right before we started recording, for those of you who know the show, sometimes Brandon's microphone just stops working. And before we started recording, Brandon said, "My microphone's been working for like the past 3 interviews. It's all been fine. It's not gonna go out." And I told him he jinxed it. Hello, are you here?
Yeah,
are you back?
Me?
Yes, and I fucking told you so. I told you jinxed it. You can't go talking about like, oh, my microphone's good.
2 weeks, it has been working perfect. And now, here we are. Tulsi, as I was saying, she's going to be a great Secretary of Defense. She is a, I did love Tulsi. I still do like Tulsi, but she was very mad, as we talked about, not being on these debates. But Julian Castro, on the other hand, let's go down the list, right? Why do people like Pete Buttigieg?
Because he's cute.
Okay, well, fine. That's maybe.
I don't mean cute in like a sex. I don't mean cute in like a sex.
No, I know.
I mean cute in that like okay. I'm on the CNN article that shows the speaking times for the third debates, and he just looks like so dopey. He just like he's got this like little. Hey, I'm gonna send you this link.
And no, I knew what you meant. I just it wasn't what I was looking for.
He looks like a teddy bear that's trying to be he looks like a teddy bear that came to life and is trying to act like a person enough to get elected president of the United States. He's still a teddy bear. But he's still like, oh, I have a flesh human body.
Are you saying that what was that movie where the bear talks?
Ted?
Ted. I was gonna say, was that Ted? Yeah.
I have not seen it, but he doesn't seem like I saw a commercial. He does not seem like Ted from that movie.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, he's not as like crude as Ted.
That was like a very racy, crude. Yeah, that was a very intense adult movie.
Oh my god! Now I'm never gonna not be able to see him as this picture that he's not a teddy bear now. Jeez.
He looks so uncomfortable.
I knew what you meant. I just was looking for the fact that people like him because he's young. You know. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, he's young.
Okay. So who else is young?
I think he's also like well spoken, and he also speaks a bunch of like.
That's gonna be really, really.
Yang is youngish. Booker is young.
Okay, so Julian Castro, who is he's what I'm looking for as being younger. Okay. And so that's so you go. People like about Pete Buttigieg. Julian Castro has that. He's younger, okay? Now, when people would like to see somebody who is not, which me included, who would like to see somebody who is not white, you got, of course, they talk about Booker, they talk about Kamala Harris, and you got Julian Castro. And then on...
And Andrew Yang.
Yes.
And an Asian guy who likes math is the opposite of Donald Trump.
It's amazing that you're now talking about Andrew Yang. As somebody who could not stand Andrew Yang at the beginning of this,
I'm not pro Andrew Yang. I'm just joking. I'm just like he happy. I was making fun of him because I don't think the opposite of Donald Trump is like, I mean like it's opposite of some parts of Donald Trump.
Yes.
But a lot more to Donald Trump than just not being good at math.
So the other thing that Julian Castro has, this is why I'm making my case for Julian Castro. The other thing that Julian Castro has is that he also comes from a red state, but a red state that is looking a little bit right now because even in the latest polls, both Warren and remember polls are polls, but Warren and Sanders are actually leading Trump in Texas. And so Julian Castro, I mean, look, a Warren Castro ticket would be great as well.
Yeah, a lot of people are very supportive of a Warren Sanders ticket.
I mean, I would be as well. I mean, I think that's a great, but I do love Julian Castro. And I thought that last night he was great. So this is where the reaction came in that I just was so confused about because you had Rahm Emanuel, which I realized that he is your quintessential. By the way, why did he get? I mean, Rahm Emanuel, like, it was, we haven't heard from him for years, and then suddenly they bring him on ABC as the as like the analyst at the debate. He's like, oh, that was not a good look for Castro. Castro was really mean. He came across as mean toward Biden. I'm like, are you fucking serious?
I also just Googled Rahm Emanuel just because I was curious remembering what he looked like, because he kind of has a forgettable face.
Yeah.
And there's a there was an article from some place called Town Hall posted 2 days ago. And you're going to hate this.
Yeah.
The title, the headline for this article: should Rahm Emanuel run for president and save Democrats from Joe Biden?
Oh, my God.
2 days ago. This was posted 2 days ago. No, no more people should be running for president. No, none. Stop it.
Rahm Emanuel last night said that Julian Castro was mean to Joe Biden. Now, by the way, so now if Joe Biden becomes a nominee, please, please no. But if he was to become the nominee, do they think that Trump is going to be nice to Biden by any stretch? I mean, and then we, so then they bring on Yvette Simpson, who is supposed to be their progressive voice on ABC News. And Yvette Simpson keeps talking as if Biden is already the nominee. And it's like, well, this is good training. I'm like, okay, she's not that progressive. If she's, and maybe she is, and maybe she just had to talk that way. I don't know. But she's like, well, you know, oh yeah, this is good training for him for when he has to go against Trump. I'm like, when? Well, hold on a second. This isn't over yet.
This like, is training for him?
Yeah, like it's good experience, you know, good practice for when he goes against Trump, basically.
And did you not see how he's fucking failing at these practices?
He had a meltdown. Like, there was like that one part. What were they? Was it about immigration, I think? Or what was it about?
Or like, he was asked about his immigration record, and then he started talking about like the Violence Against Women Act.
Yeah, like he went into this whole like, I'm like, dude, what the hell?
The moderator was like, can you answer the question? Like, the question was like, do you think that it was a mistake?
Yeah,
yeah. Do you think it was a mistake to deport the, like, this many people, like, under the Obama administration? And then he goes and starts talking about, like, he goes on a ramble.
A total rampage.
I think, okay, the way he, like, the way I think that his process worked was, like, he was talking about, like the conditions that migrants are living in, like a lot of women experiencing violence. Speaking of women experiencing violence, like, we got this Violence Against Women Act. Like, it was like,
but then like a few minutes later, he then went into like a 3-part rant about everything else that had been talked about that night. And they're like, you got 45 seconds, Biden. He's like, I get another 45. Everybody else got 45 extra. And it's like, holy crap, dude, just like chill. I mean, he had a meltdown. He has not performed well. He is, you know, what his campaign, we were only in 2019. We haven't even hit primaries yet. And his campaign is like, oh, hey, we're going to try to keep old Gramps away from the camera because he says stupid things. And so like, oh, just imagine if he's president, guys. Like, I mean, the only thing he has going for him is that Trump hasn't done any press briefings lately, right? Has it been like, what, 3 months now?
I have no idea.
It's been a long
time. He hates the press. Like,
right. So the only thing that Biden has going for him is that his press briefings cannot be much worse than Trump's.
Unless Donald Trump just doesn't do any.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, so that's what he's done now. Yeah. So I mean, that was interesting though, but going back to that question was asked by a Latinx, Jorge, who asked him that question on, which is on the panel, is Jorge and who are the other two? Damn it.
It's fine. They were better moderators.
Yes. Well, I can't remember who they were, but anyways.
I can look it up.
Y'all remember.
I feel like it.
If you watch it, you saw. His response was, Jorge's question was, do you agree with the amount of immigrants that Obama deported during his presidency while you were vice president? And of course, he went all around that question and he never answered it. Mm-hmm. And that kind of says it all right there as well. He, and actually that's what Julian Castro brought up, where he wants to associate himself with Obama when it's good. And then suddenly, when it doesn't quite fit, he wants to distance himself from it, you know? And I love that Julian brought that up. He's like, so which way is it, Joe? Like, are you, you know, was being vice president with Obama the, you know, the best thing ever? Or were you, did you not agree with him most of the time? And I realized that vice presidents are going to disagree with their president. I get that. But it was still a great opportunity for Julian Castro, and he took it. That's why I loved it. I thought he was savvy. I loved it. I loved his debate. So if I'm going to rank last night, Julian Castro, number one. You know, obviously I'm a Bernie fan, and I thought that Bernie, with his healthcare saying there's no deductibles, I think that's strong right now with healthcare. I know a lot of people thought he had a bad debate. I thought he did well. I would put him and Warren really in the same category right now, because I thought Warren had a great message with the whole, you know, not people don't love their insurance, you know, and so I love both of them. After that, I don't exactly know. I thought that Kamala Harris, I think now she's relying very heavily on an attitude, which is great.
Yeah, it worked for her in the first debate, and it's working less and less since then.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's like, I just, you know, and all you see is like cop. The more, yeah, you know, she says things. And Beto, I just think that I try to look for a spark from him. I think he just keeps.
Okay, but his he did make an impact at the last debate.
What would you say? What would you say he made the impact, the most impact on?
When he said that he would have a mandatory buyback of all automatic rifles.
Okay, yes, that is
like, that was like a big.
Actually, no, that is big. Yes,
it is so far like the only like defining part of his campaign, but it's going to bring a lot of young people in and a lot of March for Our Lives protesters.
That is true. That is true. And I got so caught up in healthcare and immigration that I completely. And by the way, and that actually spurred a very serious thing actually, because his comments about I will take your AR-15, which is something we have not heard in American politics, not at least from somebody who is in the presidential running, it resulted in a state congressperson from Texas Briscoe Kane, who said, my AR is ready for you, Robert Francis, of course, being Beto's birth name. And Twitter even deleted. Briscoe didn't delete his tweet. Twitter deleted Briscoe Kane's tweet because it went against the rules, because it was a threat.
It was a death threat, like a Texas state representative, like made a death threat against a presidential
fellow Texan, nonetheless.
It was like wild.
Yeah.
So, and for people who like missed the debates, I don't know why you're like listening to this. If you didn't watch the debates, it's probably really confusing so far. But basically, like Beto is like the first person to say, like, we will force people to like sell back their automatic, their AR. I'm not a gun person. Okay, like their automatic weapons. I think the AR-15.
AK-47, where I think the main ones they talked about.
And basically, well, what he specifically said is any weapon that was designed to kill as many people as possible in a short amount of time on a battlefield should not be in the hands of, like, everyday Americans, like, walking into a Walmart. Basically, like, saying, like, if you have any of those types of weapons, you will be forced to sell them to the government.
Right, because, like, here's the thing. I'm not a gun person either, right? People might think I'm completely anti-gun. I'm like, I don't think we're ever going to be no guns, right? So I go, okay, people are going to, as much as I hate it, they're going to hunt. People are going to have handguns, right? There are even instances where I've heard from women who feel that when they have to walk alone on the street, blah, 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 et cetera, who feel that they have that as a safety precaution. I'm not sure what really statistics are about how safe that is, but like, I'm not going to question them wanting to have their safety, right? That being said, the argument that I love to hear from gun lovers is that, well, hey, look, an AR-15 is no different from any other hunting rifle. Yet these mass shootings, you never see just an ordinary hunting rifle used for these mass shootings. Mm-hmm. It's an AR-15. So if it is just the same as any other, you know, hunting rifle, because I have friends of the family who are hunters. I know what a hunting rifle is. I've shot a hunting rifle before, and
wait, you shot a hunting rifle?
Well, it was in biathlon.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, nerd.
It's a really low-powered hunting rifle. But anyways, my...
The other thing is, like, if an AK-47 or an AR-15 is the same as a hunting rifle, why not just use a hunting rifle?
That's what I mean, though, right?
Yeah.
You don't see people use hunting rifles for this. You see them use AR-15. So, and then the other thing is, and what you're saying is true too. It's basically the same thing, just in a different way. If you can go hunting with a normal hunting rifle, why would you? The people I know who hunt, I've never heard of somebody who hunts with an AR-15. I'm sure there's going to be somebody who says, "Oh, I do," but.
Can I say something else real quick? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know how at Urban Dictionary, like, if you look up somebody's name in Urban Dictionary, there's bound to be like some like entries from people who like made definitions that like about their like relatives or friends, you know, here's the Urban Dictionary definition of David is
right.
A real cool guy or like a total jerk or like a sleazy bitch or whatever. So I like looked up Beto's. Like the name Beto, so that I could like look up, like the tweet that we were talking about earlier. Here's the top definition of Beto. Okay, this is from 2007.
Okay.
This is posted.
Wow, so this is before Beto O'Rourke really was.
Yeah, popular. Well, it's like an actual nickname.
Yeah, right. Nickname. Yeah, it's actually a Spanish.
Banjo, yeah.
Yeah.
There's actually five definitions within this definition. Like they like went and did sub definitions.
Mm.
One, an extremely large. Member, like not member, but like the misspelled member, I think.
Okay.
M-E-M-E-B-E-R.
Okay. Member.
Well, actually, it links to something else, so I don't know. two, annoyance at its best. Craziness defined. Four, lucky bastard. Five.
Lucky bastard, I think, is a good fit.
Five, if you're a Beto, you got the stuff in your pants, with 3 exclamation points.
I mean, and that might be true as well. So I will say that when you look up Brandon, not many of the definitions for my name are good.
Yeah, okay, actually, okay. It's not member, it's member.
Oh, member, okay.
So it's M-E-M-E-B-E-R. A member is an individual on an internet forum who does little more than post incredibly old and overused memes. The member typically believes themselves to be amazingly witty, but is generally regarded as being borderline, and then it's the R word.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, so let me look up Brandon.
It's bad. Like, so somebody actually put the other day on a Facebook status, they put, like, in a comment, they were like, oh, it's probably some stupid name like Brandon or Shannon, and so I liked their post, or I liked their comment, just so they would have to, like, see that a Brandon liked the comment.
Yes.
What a stupid name like Brandon or Shannon. Shannon's not that bad, is it?
Shannon, yeah, those aren't stupid names. Those are very average names.
Like, yeah, like I think that actually my name was one of the most popular names.
You went out again.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Oh, you look so angry. Brandon also did say before we started recording that I must be the bad luck. Yeah,
this is your fault.
And I'm gonna shut off my video again.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
No, just like to be on the safe side.
Okay. So I can shut off mine if it's weird. Where were we? So yeah, Brandon, I don't know. Brandon was like, I think, one of the most popular names of the time when I was born. So yeah.
Okay, and also the top definition for Brandon by Urban Dictionary. Okay, tell me how accurate this is to you.
Okay.
This was posted in 2018, so there's probably a good chance you haven't seen it.
Okay.
Brandon is one of the most amazing guys you will ever meet. He's extremely caring and sweet, as well as funny and intelligent. Winning an argument with a Brandon is quite a feat. Hard on himself and his looks, but very cocky about his intelligence. Girls always flock to Brandon's because his humor is very attractive to the people around him. On the outside, Brandons appear like assholes and meanies, but the people closest to him know deep down he's a sweetheart. Brandon will do anything for the person they love. He will love you forever as long as you do this. Can't be with anyone, needs the true of one to make him happy. Extremely loyal and protective, able to make you feel super special, like you're the only girl in the world, because to him, you are. Brandon's love doing unexpected romantic things for the person they love, hates being left out of conversations and gatherings. Timid at first, but when warmed up to, isn't afraid to show passion and emotion. Someone who you can talk to and will truly listen. Not the best at making conversation, but will always try his best. Friend and boyfriend, love him with everything you have, and he will make you his entire world.
Okay, that was really a long description.
It was really long.
I would say that besides, like, the chicks flock to his, is that right? Chicks flock to his place?
Yeah, chicks of his, flocked to his place because
his attractive sense of humor.
Yeah, his humor is very attractive to the people around him.
Besides that part, like, I figured, like, that would be, I don't know if, like, one of my friends went in there and decided they were just going to write something that made me feel good about myself. I mean, like, I think that the whole comes across as an asshole thing is accurate, to an extent.
Dude, holy shit. Almost all of these definitions are, like, super positive about Brandon.
Okay, well, something changed from, like, 2015 then to 2018.
The second definition from 2017. Brandon is a person with an overall great person. I just put the lines up. It says, Brandon is a person with an overall great person. Even though he has a short attention span, if you are talking to him, he'll listen to every word. Brandon is a very creative person. Give him a box, he'll make it into a rocket ship. Give him paperclips, he'll make a dragon. At first, he doesn't know who he loves, but when he does, he'll love them forever. Brandon will be shy when you first meet him, but when you get to know him, he'll never shut up. If you come for advice, he will never disappoint.
Now.
Okay. One last definition. Okay. Yeah. The third definition of Brandon.
Yeah. Okay.
The third definition of Brandon says, me, I'm just as awesome as the other definitions say. The example sentence for that definition is, I'm Brandon and I approve these definitions.
I feel like, because I'm not kidding you, because years ago I read them off and it was like, Brandon is the worst person, da da da. I feel like Brandon saw the bad Brandon definitions and decided that they were going to, like, be like, no, we've got to totally do something to change the perception of Brandon's.
Okay, well, I just skipped to the very last page of Urban Dictionary definitions. This is the 561st definition. Okay. It was posted on March 2019. It has no upvotes and no downvotes, okay?
March 2019, so that's the one of the newest.
Yes. Okay. Okay, this is the definition. Number 561.
Okay.
Steelers loving Duke fanatic meme is sure to tell it how it is. He is always one to claim he's always invited to the cookout, but we all know that's still up for debate. His funny and wild side is not to be overshadowed by his sensitive true self.
Oh, God.
One to always be his own harshest critic, but won't forget to give himself the pat on the back he deserves. Doesn't shove broccoli down your throat like his annoyingly healthy bestie. AKA, he has no problem binge eating a whole pineapple pizza with you and won't judge you for it either. The biggest kid at heart in the room. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if kid at heart. I just don't, like, believe I'm that old.
Number 562, Brandon, a yeeter that dabs and whips a lot. He also shaves his head to the point of being nearly bald.
No, that's not true. But I do love to say yeet because my brother and my sister-in-law hate it. So I'll just be like, yeet, and hey, they'll get...
Is your dad named Ian?
No, he's not. But actually, I think my mom was going to name me Ian.
Well, according to definition number 564,
Ian, I think
Brandons are usually the sons of Ians.
So my dad's name is John. But here's the funny part is that that story is interesting because my mom, she had a C-section, right? So she was out, and my dad. So when I was born, my dad just basically took me and told the doctors, "Oh yeah, his name is Brandon," and without really consulting with my mom. I think she always has held that against him.
I mean, you can always
sorry, Mom,
if you
for
want
outing to. You on this, but yeah, what?
You can always just change your name to Ian if you want to.
I think it was Ian that she wanted to name me.
Okay.
And then, I don't know. I mean, Brandon, like, I'm too lazy to change my name. I like my name. Like, it's okay because I think because it is so, like, it just kind of blends into the, like, horizon. Horizon. It just blends into all the other names on the name.
Okay, I know I said a couple times that like, I wouldn't read any more definitions, but I have one more definition.
Okay.
And it's the
very I'm enjoying it.
Last. It's dead last. It was just posted August 25th, 2019.
Okay.
Brandon. He is a Brandon that likes to be Brandon. Why, you may ask? Because he is Brandon. The example sentence is, because I'm Brandon. The tags for that post, there's two tags. The first tag is hashtag hi, because apparently you can tag Urban Dictionary posts, which I didn't know. The second hashtag is hi, with a non-standard number of I's for those various hi's.
What's really weird about names is that, so a lot of my close friends or friends that I, not all of them are close, but a lot of the friends I have, they all have similar names that are either like Allison, Elisa, Alyssa, Allie, Alicia, Ellie. It's weird. I don't know why that happens with names. And so, yeah. I feel like, it's like names are like this weird like thing that like we get stuck with one, and then we're also only meant to like really know people with certain names.
Mm-hmm.
And like if you're going people I've had a crush on, a lot of them end up being like Kaylins or Caitlins or like can you be attracted to a name? Is that a thing?
Have you read the John Green book, An Abundance of Catherines?
No.
It's a book about this kid who has dated 19 girls in his life, only 19 girls, and every single one of them has been named 19? Catherine. Huh? He just graduated high school, so he's just about to go to college, so he's, like, still a kid. He's less than 20, so he's dated 19 girls
right
in that time, I think, and every single one is named Catherine, spelled the exact same way, Katherine.
Okay.
And so basically, like, the book is about, like, how he and his friend go on a road trip to, like, self-discover, and then they just, like, end up in this one town. I think it's, like, the first town they stop in, and then they just chill there, and he ends up falling in love with a girl. And guess what her name is?
Don't tell me it's Catherine.
I will let you read the book for yourself.
Oh, shit. So, by the way, I don't think I have dated 19 girls from high school till now.
I have not. I've dated one girl.
Okay. I've dated more than one, but so that's a lot of girls if it seems like. It's weird. Like it's like Caitlin's. I could go on forever. Like our family, the names like within our family, really at the end of the day, were so unoriginal, and how often we like reuse middle names and stuff. And then like even like my cousin's name is Danielle. My middle name is Daniel. My dad's middle name is Daniel. And it's like, oh my God, did this family ever just like, you know, like branch out? We've got like three different variations of like middle names, whatever, that are Thomas. Yeah. But sorry, family, I love you, but you didn't really give it a lot of thought. So the debates, at the end of the day, though, to summarize them, because now that we've really gone over a lot of stuff that was talked about.
Yeah, we really went over some of the, like, the core issues of the debates, including, like, Pato's name.
Yeah, which was the most important part. So, what would you say, like, who do you think, we're just going to keep it to one winner, one loser. You go. Who do you think?
How about you go? Because I'm not prepared.
Okay. So, winner for me, obviously, Julian Castro. The loser for me last night? I would say that really the loser, I think, unfortunately, I mean, well, really not even unfortunately, because like sometimes I just love what she has to say, and then other times I'm just like, nah, I'm tired of her. Kamala Harris, I thought was a loser. I don't think she really made any impact last night. I mean, I'd like to say Klobuchar, but Klobuchar really didn't have as far to fall.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
You know, interestingly enough, speaking of like comparing like where candidates were before the debates and where they are now, or at least I feel like Biden like made no fucking sense, but he had a lot more energy than he had in previous debates.
He did have more energy. That's 100% true.
Prepared, like he seemed like he was less sad to look at.
But he was also like a little bit like pissed off, crazy. I'm just going to go on a rant, which is also not great.
Yeah. But I would guess, I haven't actually seen the poll comparisons, but I would guess that he didn't fall as much. I still would put Julio Castro as the winner. Mm-hmm. For similar reason that you said, like, he seemed the most prepared. He had like a strong impact. Loser, I would say you're right. Probably either Klobuchar or Harris. They just didn't stand out at all.
Yeah, Booker, you know, it's funny. Booker kind of stays status quo.
I forgot that Booker was there. Maybe Booker was
there. He kind of stays status quo. I mean, the thing about Booker as a vegan, like when they asked, when essentially Jorge also asked.
I was losing my shit. Oh, I was like, yeah.
Whereas Jorge kind of asked him, like, you know, and I was expecting, like, this is what I don't get, right? Is that when he was asked that question, he didn't have to be, like, super annoying vegan, right? He could have just been like, well, hey, like what you and I talked about. Individual choice can make societal impact, right? And it changes, you know, how society does things. Instead, he's like, oh, shit, I'm in Texas. I'm going to be headed to the Midwest. I can't say the vegan word here. So he's like, oh, no, don't worry. Because even Warren did that earlier in the week where she's like, don't worry, guys, you're going to be able to eat your cheeseburgers. It's corporate pollution, which we know is corporate pollution too. Like, we get that. But it's like, what I don't get is like, we don't have to keep putting down people for trying to make individual impact. And Booker being an actual vegan, I thought that was a little weak for me. I thought he could have been like, hey, look, guys, I'm not expecting you all to go vegan, but lowering your meat intake could definitely have a big effect, you know, as we also look to make other changes in corporate pollution, et cetera. And whereas he was just kind of like, no, guys, don't worry. I'm not going to go full on rabbit eater here. rabbit food eater here on all you guys. That disappointed me a little bit, but.
Yeah, but it's also like reasonable. I was just happy the topic came up.
I agree with you. That is true. By the way, that reminded me. I don't know why it reminded me. I'm going to try. I just don't know if I'm going to be able to get parking, but I'm going to try. So Greta Thunberg is actually going to be in my county, September 21st, I believe. So I think that's just crazy, and I might try to go and see. She's going to be part of like a environmental thing at the border of USA and Canada on the 21st September, and I thought that was kind of cool.
Nice.
Yeah. So moving on. So some exciting things that happened to me this since you've been gone. Kelly Clarkson. I was at a football game, UW Huskies college football game and Cal Golden Bears. And this is on the story of weather, because this is something that I have never seen in Washington. I'm not trying to be all like, oh my God, it's climate change, but people, it's climate change. So when we get lightning storms up here, we don't usually get like, we get like a flash, maybe a little fork, and then it moves on really quick, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm at the game with my cousin and his girlfriend. And all the players just leave the field, and nobody really cares about that. But we're like, what the hell is going on? And they're like, hey, everybody evacuate. There's severe storms. So I'm thinking this is going to go over quick. It's just a little weird little thing that's happening. For 2.5 hours, there was, like, severe lightning going around Husky Stadium. And it was, like, every 5 to 10 seconds. I know for people in the Midwest and whatever, that is nothing. But for us, that is extremely crazy. And it was, the power went out at the stadium. It shut down Metro. These sort of storms don't happen in Washington. Not very often. It is very rare. That is the craziest storm I have ever been in Washington State in my whole life. And so, again, I know people say, oh, but you know, if you go back to this time and whatever, and I get that, fine. But that, the weather is weird. Like, I mean, when I think about this year, which was not the hottest year for us in the sense of that we didn't have any, you know, 100 degree days and whatever, but the wind, even like we used to get these cool winds from the south and southwest and off the water. And this year, those cool winds were not as cool. They were warmer. And I'm not a meteorologist. I'm not an expert in these things, but that was freaky to me, and not freaky in the sense that I love severe weather. So it was also exciting as hell. But the fact that I saw that happen in Washington was was crazy to me. And at the same time, in Portland, Oregon, there was a tornado that touched down. So it was weird weather up here this past week and a half. And what else happened? There was actually something else too that I wanted to bring up. Oh my gosh. I should have written it down because it was something that happened. I was like, oh my God, we got to talk about this. And then I totally forgot. But anyways, anything else you would like to share, Aiden, before we wrap things up?
Yeah, just don't take your vet's word at face value. And don't wait until it's potentially too late to get adequate treatment for your pets.
For that matter, don't take your doctor's word at face value, too. I've run into that problem before.
But also, don't necessarily, like, join a Facebook group if you question what your doctor is saying on, say, vaccines or something. Like,
don't also listen to Marianne Williamson on how you should treat yourself. But anyways, everybody, we're great to be back and talking today. This was a debate special, so I know it's a little bit different time that it's being released than usual. But thank you so much for listening. And we have the next debate, I think it's October 6th, I want to say, if I'm not right. Does that sound right to you, Aiden?
I have no idea, actually.
Okay. I do believe it is somewhere around that date, but you can all correct us if we're wrong.
Do we know what the standards are to be a part of the debates? Like, what's the hurdle that they have to clear?
I do not actually have the information for that, but I do know that it's supposed to be a smaller group, I believe, than even this one.
Yeah, it says, I don't know. Okay, this is from last May. It said that they doubled the threshold for the third and fourth primary debates. Right. I don't know. Let me see if I can find a more recent poll, or more recent article.
I'm sorry, it's October 15th, so I was a week early.
It is going to be co-hosted by the New York Times and CNN.
Ah, interesting.
They're Donald Trump's worst enemies.
Okay, so here we go. Here are the people that are so far will be in it. I guess this is it. So it's actually the same exact lineup. It's Joe Biden, Cory Booker, Pete Buttigieg, Julian Castro, Kamala Harris, Amy Klobuchar, Beto O'Rourke, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Andrew Yang. So
and Tom Steyer.
So he actually is. Why? How is he going to be there?
Huh? Because he's qualified. He's qualified for the October debates.
Crazy. That's so weird.
He didn't qualify because apparently the standards to get into the fourth debate are the same as the standards to get into the third debate. So you have to have 2% in at least 4 national polls that are like approved by the DNC, and then you have to have like 130,000 unique donors. Tulsi and Marianne both have the donor threshold, but not
right.
The polling threshold.
Yep.
And then Tom Steyer met those thresholds, but not in time for
the September.
Not in time for the September debates. And Tom Steyer has like met those thresholds because he's a billionaire and can buy huge ass ads on CNN and get his name out to like all of America like so much more easily. It's like infuriating.
By the way, I love this. So the remaining 7 candidates have met neither threshold. And I love this because there's a guy named Wayne.
Wait, hold up. Your audio like went out. Like I missed the first part of that sentence.
Oh, sorry. So the remaining 7 candidates who have met neither threshold. But here's what I love. There are 2 names on here that I've never heard.
Okay.
Wayne Messam.
Oh, I know. I've heard of Wayne Messam.
You have? Okay. From Miramar, Florida. And you have Joe Sestak of Pennsylvania.
I think that we've talked about Joe Sestak.
If we talked about Joe, I will eat my hat.
He's a retired U.S. Navy officer.
Joe is made up. There is no such thing as Joe Sestak.
So his
he's user created content.
He's an AI generated presidential candidate.
Yeah, no, he's
I'm gonna go tweet that right now. Actually, that's fucking. One second, I'm gonna forget.
He's like in play, yeah. Oh God, Joe Sestak from Pennsylvania, retired Navy admiral or Navy guy.
His whole thing it says like ADM Joe.
Okay.
I don't know what ADM stands for, though.
I think that's Admiral.
I mean, there have been videos posted about him on YouTube today, like from Forbes. This is ridiculous. Like,
people saying, "Oh, there's this guy named Joe Sestak."
I guess.
Who is he? Who is this man? And then you like, he's the guy you click on is like, "Hey, the sunshine's out today," and you're like, "No, I have a question for you." He's like, "Hey, the sunshine's out today," you know, like on like a RPG or something. Yeah, so Joe Sestak, and who is the other guy? Wayne Messam?
Yes.
How do you know that guy?
Because people sometimes make fun of him in the streams that I watch.
Oh, okay. So people make fun of him, which means he's somewhat relevant.
Well, he's had like $30,000 raised for his campaign, but he still hasn't dropped out. And he's been in it since like, he's been in it for a while, for many months, and he's raised $30,000. And
he's
no one knows.
He's a young guy. He's a young guy, 45. He is, wait a minute. He is, mayor of Miramar, Florida. And he played football. After not being selected in the 1997 NFL draft, Messam signed with the Cincinnati Bengals as an undrafted free agent. He was released on August 4th. He was a wide receiver for Florida State Seminoles. Okay, cool.
There's some website that I've never heard of before called PJ Media, and they have an article that was published in June. It says, "Media ignores 2020 Democrat Joe Sestak's connection to big Obama scandal." And I feel like they could have just stopped about halfway through, "Media ignores 2020 Democrat Joe Sestak." Like, they didn't need the second half of that sentence.
I'm sure it's probably like something like Pizzagate.
Yeah, it says most people probably haven't heard of him or remember who he is, and I'm sure Barack Obama is thrilled about that because Joe Sestak is connected to a scandal where Obama broke federal law.
Broke federal law? Isn't that just like, that's like old that's like old hat now? It's like, how many times has Trump broke the law? And everybody's like, well, you know what? It happens. Come on, guys.
Apparently, the law that he broke is that in the summer of 2009, Sestak was offered a job in the Obama administration. In order to accept it, he'd have to end his campaign. Sestak revealed this in a February 2010 radio interview, and the Obama White House was forced to admit they did, in fact, offer Sestak a job to drop out of the race. So basically, like, they offered him a job in the Obama White House so that he wouldn't run against the incumbents.
Oh, boy.
Like, okay. Apparently, broke a federal law or, like, four federal laws. I have never heard of this news site. I have no idea. Like,
well, I mean, you know what? He should have done something a lot less terrible. Like, you know, I don't know, like, meddle with Russia or, you know, or get in cahoots with Russia and Putin. Because that stuff, that's okay. So, but God forbid you offer somebody a job to drop out of a campaign. That shit doesn't happen.
This website, PJ Media, the little bar with like buttons you can click for different sections of the website, it says, the bar goes, news and politics, trending, homeland security, faith and lifestyle.
Oh, wow.
So like, just from that, I feel like I have a sense of what the site is about. Their popular now sections, like the top article is trans barista boots conservative from coffee shop.
There's probably one in there like proof that Obama's birth certificate was fake. Proof that Tulsi Gabbard is a lizard person.
There's one that says triggered hashtag boycott ABC trends after on Twitter after ad, referring to the attack ad made against Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez that showed like her face burning, or a photograph of her face burning. Okay. There's their editor's choice section says 9/11 victim's son blasts Ilhan Omar at memorial ceremony.
Oh wow, this is
women aren't depressed. So yeah, I don't take this too seriously. That's one of the only articles about Joe Sestak from the past few months. I guess
that is a seriously conservative. It's probably they probably got one like their Elizabeth Warren werewolf. She could be. I have no problem with that. I still vote for her.
I still vote. Yes, I have.
She said. Cool. She's a werewolf. She can get some shit done at the full moon. Well, Aiden, it's been real.
Yep.
What was that?
I said, it's been something, that's for sure.
It's been something. Thank you, everybody, for listening. You can listen to, I would give a description, but we are really running over. We're running over time. But you can listen to Aiden's other podcast, Dibs, Welcome to the Family. And you can listen to mine, Lemonade Magazine's podcast. I will have the links in the description, and you can check those out after you're done listening to this one. Thank you so much for listening to the Conservationist Conversationalist. Stay dope.